Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and I'm here with my favorite types of episodes and talking to other short-term rental investors and talking willing to share their journey, the ups, the downs, the in-betweens. And today, we get the chance to talk to Wendy Pongy. And Wendy, I appreciate you joining us. We're on version three of this episode. So you and I have had this conversation a couple of times because we keep having internet issues and computer issues and everything else. And so thanks so much for being patient with me because I really want to have this conversation so other people can hear it. So thanks for joining us today.
I'm happy to share it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Wendy, you know, you've got a lot to share. We've got a lot of different things. You've got lifestyle assets. You've had some bumps in the road, some big bumps in the road. You've got some investment properties in different markets. And so, but before we dive into all of that stuff, let's talk a little bit about your background, what got you interested in hospitality and started down the short-term rental game in the first place, if you don't mind.
Okay. So I live in Lahaina, Maui, Hawaii. And I'm a hairstylist. I've lived here for 30 years. I had a salon and day spa. My husband and I were house hackers. I've been hearing that term lately. So first we purchased a home, had roommates. Then we sold that home, had a triplex. Then we had multiple long-term rental units in Hawaii. And then during COVID, I had a plantation house in Lahaina, Maui, that was my hair salon and day spa for 18 years. So I decided to pivot, and in that zoning, short-term rental was an allowed use. And originally it was a home. So I remodeled it back into a home and then downsized and moved my hair salon around the corner, and it did awesome. It was so much fun for me to provide a great experience for families to get together and enjoy Lahaina and Maui.
Awesome. So we got that set up. You're having a lot of fun with it. Was that just like when you got into that, was it like, I know that, you know, obviously being a salon owner in the hairstyle industry and then your husband in the hospitality world, you guys are like, that's really close to you. Like that's kind of a comfort zone for you, but it was post COVID, kind of that boom. Everybody's like ready to get away, but you're not in an area that was super open and accessible. You know, Hawaii was fairly locked down and shut down, right? I mean, it was even hard to get there, but it sounds like it was still a really good launch for you guys.
It was. Once they opened, you had to, have test before you came, yep, or then eventually be vaccinated. I mean, it was hard to travel, but people, once we opened, it boomed.
Yeah. Awesome. And so it had a really good start. And was that like, you know, that guy kind of got your, like, were you thinking about it for a long time before that? Or was that something that you were just like, hey, listen, we're going to do this because we've been in this world for a minute and we want to continue to kind of progress. I mean, you've done some real estate investing in the past with the house hacking, the long-term rentals, all of those different things. And now this is the move into short-term rentals. And it sounds like, you know, and just knowing, you know, where you're at right now, you guys were kind of going full speed ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I probably wish I would have thought about that with a use for it when I originally purchased it, but, you know, things were different then. You would have had to hire a management company. Yeah. Airbnb wasn't a thing at that time or just starting.
So you've got a good, you know, which is typical. We have some success, a really good launch, and then all of a sudden the wheels start spinning, right? And so take us through that and kind of the progression down the line of what the portfolio started to think about and what we started looking at as we started for property number two.
So then I was deep diving in education and I came across your podcast, and I love the idea of a lifestyle asset. So I said to my husband, Hayden, hey, you know, we should really get a lifestyle asset. So we were looking in Whitefish, Montana. We sold a long-term rental to purchase, and we did a 1031 exchange. And that's a true lifestyle asset. It covers the expenses, and we get to go 3 to 4 weeks out of the year. So that's a big bonus, and yeah, we love to ski.
That's awesome. So you know, you live on the beach, right? We live in a beautiful beach paradise. And then we got the mountain property as a lifestyle asset, and being able to use it 3 to 4 weeks a year is a big deal, right? That's a, you know, even though, like you said, it's paying its expenses, it's being able to, you know, somebody else is paying down that mortgage, the property's appreciating, it's still a really good investment, not necessarily a cash flowing investment. But if you took the cost that it would cost you to go visit 3 or 4 weeks a year in Whitefish, you know, and you added that and said, okay, well, I'm going to pay that one way or the other, if we're going there, you know, that's saving some money, and really, on a cash flow side, still looks like a nice investment, right? Even though it's a lifestyle asset.
Yeah. And we go Christmas, New Year's, and spring break. So,
yeah. So you're going peak times of the year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. And a beautiful area. You know, you've got those, you know, some of the best mountains and skiing in the world, really. I mean, it's such a beautiful area up there by Glacier National Park, and you've got all the ski resorts up there in the wintertime. So really fun. So that's more of a lifestyle asset. And I know that you've also navigated into kind of the investment world of just saying, hey, listen, we're going to look at this as an asset class, just as an investment property versus like how we would our long-term rentals, for example. So you've got this next property that is doing well and doing what you hoped it would do. And so take us through navigating now and making the decision, not for another lifestyle asset, but saying, okay, maybe we want another investment property.
Yeah. So then I joined Vodacy, which I wish I would have done before I purchased the Whitefish place, but, I joined Vodacy, so I started working through the system, and then I honed in on Waco and found a really great house and learned how to underwrite. I actually purchased the property without ever even seeing it, and it's a great property. A lot of people will go to see Magnolia Market and the Silos, or Baylor University and the football games.
Do you, because we always talk about really identifying your target audience based on your proximity, how you're going to set this property up. Do you lean more toward one or the other, whether it's like the Baylor, the university stuff, or more toward the Magnolia stuff, which are two major profit drivers in that area?
We went full steam ahead with Magnolia. Yeah. Mike, the designer through Vodacy, helped me, and it's right across the street from Magnolia Silos.
Right. You guys, your proximity is walking distance to the Silos, right? I mean, you're right there, and which made sense. And I wanted to bring that up because I do think that that's an important point to make as you get these properties set up, and you know, we're not just trying to be everything to everybody, especially in markets that have diverse profit drivers. And those are fairly diverse. Those are two different audiences, right? Two different target audiences. And we have members in our Vodacy family, and you've probably seen their properties in Waco, and they lean all the way into the Baylor Bears, right? And it's all about Baylor and football games and graduations and basketball games and everything going on at Baylor University. And they kind of ignore the Magnolia stuff. And you're the exact opposite. You guys are walking distance to the Silos. You're right in the heart of the Magnolia, you know, the ecosystem that Chip and Joanna have built there, you know. And so it's and your property is, you know, super, like, you know, designed to fit that mold as well, right? I mean, it looks like a, you know, a Joanna design type of a property.
It is. It's a great house.
And it's doing well. So that was, take us time frame on that one was okay, when?
So we closed on that in July, and then we flew out there. It had a couple of bookings that I just kept with the seller.
Yeah.
And then we went out there and did all the work with Mike with updating the design. And we then flew back here on August 7th. And then August 8th, we had the Lahaina fire, which destroyed our whole town and my Lahaina vacation rental.
Yeah. So we're riding a high of a brand new launch, excited to see how this property goes. We get home and then it's just devastation everywhere you look, right? I mean, the Lahaina fires, they were, well, you know, everybody across the world saw those and what was going on. I can't imagine being right in the middle of it and having a property that is doing really well, that really springboarded this entire asset class and portfolio for you. And it's gone, right? Overnight. You're just like, okay, we just lost it. And this entire, like, downtown area is devastated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty, probably a pretty surreal moment to have to like deal with that, right? You guys were fortunate to where your home was not, you know, affected by the fires, but I mean, you're a little bit up on a hill, but you're looking at that. You're watching this the whole time unfold and probably, you know, I mean, it's just, I can't even imagine going through something like that.
Yeah. We watched from when the fire started to we stayed up the whole night and we could watch the whole town. So my kids lost their school and one was closed because it was up further on the hill. So it's still there, but the other one, the school burned.
Yeah. And so, so, I mean, a lot of different things going on in that area. You know, again, we saw it unfold from, you know, the back seat looking in on the news and everything else. But when you're right in the middle of it, that's different. And we've talked to, you know, I've had one of our Vodacy members who has lost a property in a fire, right? But it was, you know, you're not just losing a property, you're losing an entire city that was gone. And so it's not like, okay, the house burned down, we're going to figure out how to fix it and rebuild. The rebuild process for you is a long one, right? In fact, it's not, we don't even know when it's going to be at this stage, right? When we were talking about that.
Yeah. So we're getting close to 10 months and our lot was just cleared.
Right.
So we can't submit permits yet because they still haven't decided in that area what they're going to do. So it's until the county officials decide, you know, we just aren't going to move forward with our building plans.
Right.
Until then.
So how does that work when you have, obviously you had insurance on the property? How does that work when something like that happens? When you're like, hey, listen, they just cleared the lot. They still aren't deciding on issuing new permits, trying to get somebody to rebuild this area. You're probably 3 to 5 years of when you and I were having this conversation before is what you told me. I mean, that's a long time. So how does that work? And like you're saying, hey, I need to keep moving forward. I can't just sit here on this. How does it work when something like that happens with mortgages and insurances and everything else?
Well, luckily I had actually two insurances at the time because I was in the process of changing insurance. So I had proper insurance, which I know you're a fan of, and yes, they were great. And I also had another insurance through RLI. So, you don't get to claim both the insurance, but yeah, it did give me a little extra with my loss of income because I had over a year of loss of income. So having good insurance and having loss of income is huge. So what we decided to do is with our loss of income is purchase another property.
Yeah.
And so also through Vodacy, there was a post when you guys post homes that are pre-vetted. I had been looking in the Blue Ridge, Georgia area, and that one didn't pop up on like my automated, you know, when they send you properties.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I'm looking for like a 3-bedroom and that one looks perfect. It's right on the river. And yeah, so we bought the home in Blue Ridge, Georgia, worked again with Mike and got that all dialed in. And now that's booming.
Right. So when did that one launch? I know that one is because you bought it, you did some remodel, you got it all, you know, furnished and remodeled really nice. I mean, I actually had the opportunity to walk through the property you bought in person, which I don't always on pre-vetted properties, but we were in that area and I saw that property, walked through it in really good proximity on a really good river there that's really popular. And the vision of being able to bring that, like one of the things that I always like, a lot of people talk about proximity, right? And proximity is so important, but it's so important to that experience that you're trying to create for the guest. And in that area, long range views and water are key factors to be able to say, okay, I've got these two things. That's going to put you toward the top of the market when it comes to proximity. And yours is right on a really good river but it needed a little bit of work. And so once you brought that to life, and you launched that one just recently, right? Right now we're recording this at the end of May. And so this one was a fairly recent launch, right?
Yeah. Like the beginning of May.
Right. Yeah. And so how is that? You said it's going well and you had a really good launch on it. Tell me a little bit about it.
May is probably 60% booked.
Nice.
And June is almost 100% full, and July's half full.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. And that's going to be when you really make the majority of your money. Was this one underwritten, and did you buy this one as a lifestyle asset? Are you guys planning on using this one? Or are you going to say, hey, you're getting a little, for every time you buy, you're getting a little further away, right? we're going like,
originally we're both from the East Coast, so we do have family.
Okay.
They're like excited. That's much closer than flying to Hawaii. But I think it'll probably be once a year. Maybe I'll go another time and check on it. But the kids loved it there. They were like, we love that home. Just being by the river and roasting s'mores. And
yeah, it's funny. My kids, like, we have properties in a lot of different areas, and they go to a lot. They travel a lot. And so they're fortunate to see a lot of different areas. That is one of their favorite places to go. And we're right up the road from you in Cherry Log. And it's my kids, if you give them a choice where to go, if they can go to Georgia, they love it. And so it's funny because they're the same way. My kids love that area.
Yeah, it's a great area.
Yeah, it's fun. And all of your properties have had really good proximity, right? The reason I love having these conversations, and you haven't had a property that has underperformed for you yet, and there's reasons for that. And I always say, hey, success leaves clues. Some of our mistakes, we want to share our mistakes. We want to share the ups and the downs and how we overcome them. One of the mistakes that some people experienced, and you know some people that I'm positive we haven't talked about it, but I'm sure you know people in that area that didn't have the right insurance policies in place, and they weren't well insured. And they're not in as great of a position to continue to move forward, be able to rebuild when they can, but also put the money into another property until they can rebuild. And so that, you know, as devastating as the fire is, as much as nobody wants to go through something like that, it's easier to handle when you've got the right pieces in place that can, you know, and insurance is a huge one. I always say it's your first layer of protection against lawsuits, any sort of, you know, disaster that type, you know, a fire, a hurricane or something that comes through. So maybe talk to us, and I'm just curious, and maybe that's not the case, but I can't imagine that you haven't heard stories of people that were not well insured.
Oh, most people were not well insured. I mean, it's probably at least the 90%. Some families had homes for generations and didn't even have insurance. Yeah. It's pretty devastating. And because cost of goods have gone up so much, a lot of people, their insurance was outdated. So ours was pretty, you know, we only had the house for like 2.5 years since we remodeled it. And even when we got the insurance, they were trying to have the dwelling at a lower price. And we pushed and said, no, you know, it's going to cost more to rebuild today. And who knows, in 3 to 5 years, how much it's going to cost.
Right, right. And I love, I'm going to hang on this point for just a minute, because I always, my goal is to have people walk into this game with their eyes wide open and try to mitigate any risk we can, and try to, you know, so other people don't have to, you know, feel the same scars that I've had to feel sometimes along the way. I've never had a total loss, knock on wood, but I am a huge fan of really over-insuring properties so that I don't have to worry about it, right? Because it is, and you just brought up the fact, a couple points, where a lot of people are underinsured, and a lot of times we're saying, I want to try to save money where I can, right? I don't want to, you know, that insurance, that gold standard insurance is quite a bit more than just the one that is required by the mortgage company. So I'm going to just go with that one. And then when something major happens, or you get a lawsuit, and maybe it's not a total loss, maybe it's a lawsuit and somebody got hurt and the insurance company says, hey, listen, we're not covering that because you weren't allowed to do a short-term rental with this insurance policy anyway. We're not covering that type of business activity. There's all these different reasons. I have and you mentioned this, that one of my properties is actually being rented by somebody whose property burned down. And it was Thanksgiving weekend and their property burned down, and they ended up, we had a property that just came on the market. We just put it on Airbnb. They were looking for a furnished rental. Their insurance policy actually paid for them for living expenses if they had a total loss, right? And so they were able to get a like property. It's actually probably one of my most profitable 18 months that I've ever had in a property, because they're paying me my short-term rental rate the whole time. So I'm 100% occupied at my ski season rates, which it's in a ski community in Utah. And I had the rates posted. It happened to be over Thanksgiving, and they're paying me the whole time. Their insurance company's paying me the whole time while they're rebuilding their house. But the point of this is he was telling me the story, and in July of this last year, and this their house burned down in November, they built this property in 2008. And in 2008, when they built it, the property was like a $500,000 bill. That's the insurance policy they had on this property the whole time. Well, in July of 2023, his insurance agent called him up and said, "Hey, Craig, you're way underinsured on this property. This property is worth $2 million now, right? And you only have a $500,000 policy." And he's already paid it off, no mortgage, no nothing. So he's like, "I just never thought about it. I just always kept the same insurance policy, right?" Well, he upped it in July, crazy enough, into today's value. And then he has a total loss. It was a fire, he was like under investigation. He's like, it was kind of crazy because the insurance company's like, "Hold on, we got to investigate this big time because you went from $500,000 to $2 million and then the house burned down." Well, they were out of town and it was a glitch in a fireplace. It was a 2008 built fireplace, a gas fireplace, and the thermostat on it started sparking and the house went up in flames. And, it was a reminder to me because I was like, "Holy crap, I probably have properties that I've had for a long time and I haven't checked on my insurance policy that if something happened, I'm probably only insured for, you know, a fraction of what they're worth right now." And so it's, you know, it is a really, like, every journey has lessons, right? And there are these lessons along the way that, you know, and maybe lessons that you don't even think about sometimes. And that's what I think, that this is one of those lessons that a lot of people don't think about, right?
Yeah.
And you guys and your family, you're in a position because you had the right policies and you had a couple policies on it, actually. Like you said, you're not going to claim them both, but whatever, you know, you're overinsured or well insured for what you need to do now to continue to move forward and continue to, you know, build that portfolio. And it's not the financial ruin that some people are going through on having to even think about rebuilding, because some of these people may never rebuild, right? They've lost it and they can't rebuild it. And you guys are in a fortunate position because you made those decisions in the beforehand with the insurance policies. And sometimes it sucks to pay those costs on the good insurance policies. A lot of times are a bit more expensive, but I'm a big believer that you should have that in place because it's your first layer of protection for sure.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, it's painful no matter what, but having good insurance definitely has made it less painful.
Yeah. Awesome. And then on the success side, let's leave on a positive note, right? On the things that we can learn on the positive side is every one of your properties that had great launches and have had good success are in really good proximity, good locations. You know, I always say you buy quality, and part of the quality is not just the asset itself. It's the proximity in the area you're buying. Right? Are you close to the ski hills? Are you close to the national parks? In your case, you were the Lahaina property was right downtown Lahaina, right? It was an old sugar plantation, very unique type of a property in a really good location. You know, your Whitefish property, being able to be close to the ski resorts and the downtown, the restaurants and those types of things make a big difference. The Waco property, walk into the silos in the Magnolia Market, the Georgia property right on the river. I mean, not a lot of properties are right on the river. You guys choose to wait till you find that property on the river. That proximity is doing a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to creating a great experience for your guests. And I think that is sometimes overlooked, where people are like, "I'll just pay a little bit less and not have the greatest proximity." And sometimes in some markets and doing your research, sometimes you have to be right on the river. Sometimes you have to have those long range views. Other times you can be a little bit further away from some of the stuff. Maybe you're 30 minutes away from a national park, and that's okay in that market. But knowing that information is critical so that you can buy properties with the right proximity to the location that you're buying in.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the location is very important, and it's worth waiting till you find the right property.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Just be patient, right? I always tell people, don't rush in. And sometimes it's hard to be patient. You're like, I want to do something. And you've had to experience that too a little bit, where you're just kind of waiting. You're waiting to see what happens. Sometimes a pre-vetted property comes up. Sometimes the markets that you're looking in and the agents, you know, just, you know, the fact of the matter is, and we haven't overcome this yet for the last, you know, 5 to 6, 7 years, is inventory levels are really, really low. And we still are seeing inventory levels that are really low. Even though they're increasing in certain areas, they're still way lower than we need to have a normal market. And so we just have to be patient. And if you are patient, the right property will eventually come and you're going to be able to have a property, because this is a long-term investment. Don't rush into it because you're impatient on the front end, right?
Exactly.
Awesome. Awesome, Wendy. Well, listen, I think we made it through. I think we got through
third time's a charm.
I love it. This is awesome. Well, listen, I always appreciate these conversations. I always learn so much. And I think that that's why they're just so unscripted. And we just kind of have that conversation because we never know what lessons are going to come out. And, you know, the lesson on the insurance policy is a big one. And one that is kind of a necessary evil for investors. And many investors just do the bare minimum. And unfortunately, if something major happens, they're just not covered the way they should be. So I think those are good lessons to learn as you, like, from your guys' journey. But I always like to give you the opportunity to say, if you could go back, you know, if you could start, you know, at the very beginning and you're saying, hey, listen, I wish I knew this going into it. If, you know, if I could walk into this with my eyes wide open, this is one thing that would be important, whether it's on the short-term rental game, just a mindset of something going in. Is there something that comes to mind there?
Well, I wish I would have joined Bodicy sooner.
I love hearing that.
And I just think that I don't like to say that we make mistakes. I like to say that they're discoveries as long as we learn from them. So yeah. I am happy with my path. And even though we are dealing with this devastation, I know that we'll move through it and we'll learn as we move through it.
Yeah, love it. I think it's a great... You know, when you say, I wish I joined Vodacy sooner, I always love hearing that and appreciate it. But I think the real reason behind that is, and what I always say the most value is the community that we have, right? We can learn so much from other people's, you know, there's so much collective experience in there, and why we have these conversations and why I'm always so grateful for, you know, people like you that are willing to come on and have these conversations is, we're learning these discoveries, right? And we're sharing these discoveries, like you said, these challenges that we go through and saying, okay, there's lessons in all of this that we can all learn. And our Vodacy family, we love it so much. And the most valuable thing that we have is, I always say, as proud as I am of the course and the blueprint and everything that we have, the step-by-step process and all the coaching that we provide, that's a distant second to the community of members inside of our Empire Club, really sharing their experiences and their discoveries along the way, so that, you know, so that all of us and some of those scars, we can avoid those, you know, if we can, and really accelerate our progress. So, you know, Wendy, this has been a really fun conversation for me. I always appreciate these conversations. And so I told you before we hit record that I'm going to be heading your direction the 1st of August. So you told me you'd teach me how to surf. So I'm going to hold you to it. So you guys are going to take us out and we'll learn how to surf, because that's not, we love Hawaii. We go there all the time, but I've never actually tried to surf. So we'll see how that shakes out. Yeah, I'll be hooked, right? Yeah, that's awesome. Well, listen, Wendy, I appreciate you joining us. I appreciate you sharing everything you have. Those of you that are listening, we always appreciate your time that you spend with us. We know how valuable it is, and it means a lot that you spend it with us. At the end of every episode, you guys know that I ask you two favors. The first one is, if you would know anybody else that would like to walk into this game with their eyes wide open, would love to listen in on these types of conversations and the information that we share, share the show. Those things really do help us spread the word. We don't run sponsorships and ads and everything else that you hear on a lot of the other podcasts. So the only way that we grow is if you share it and you like it. If you've got more than 30 seconds, leave us a review. Give us a thumbs up on the whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Those things do help us as well. And the final thing and most important thing at the end of every episode that I always challenge you to do is to pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.